Thank you, Lloyd. And if you'd like to volunteer for reading the scripture next week, I'd be willing to talk to you afterward, give you an application form and so on. You know, it's a blessing, though, to share the word with people and to be able to read in the service and pass on the word of God. And Kathy and I weren't here last week, and I appreciated hearing the message and hearing some things that went on in the service last week. And praise the Lord for gifted people he's given to the church. Well, last weekend we attended the memorial service for my brother in Oregon. He lived south of Oregon in the Oregon City, Tualatin area. And so we made a drive out there. And to get to the church, neighborhood church in Oregon City, we followed Kathy's GPS. And we'd rented an Airbnb, so that was very convenient for family to come over and we could visit longer. And so this place, I'd never been to the church, I'd never been to that house, and so we were following her GPS. Now this is good. This is good that she had GPS. I know that coming up Highway 17, people have said, you know, it told me to turn right, and there's only a river there. Sometimes they're faulty. But instead of the GPS, which was doing a fine job, as I look back on it now, of taking us on routes that were avoiding accidents. In that area, a lot of freeways, a lot of traffic, and kind of like the Middle Fork on Sunday afternoon, Highway 17. But it was heavy traffic, and it was taking us around. I sincerely believed, when I saw a certain road sign, that I could make a shorter route out of this. Why are you laughing? I took the route. I turned off. I said, let's get over there on that freeway. I think that would be better. And after quite a few blocks, and several traffic lights, Kathy followed that route on her phone. She said, it's going to take us 35 miles out of our way. No, maybe 35 minutes out of our way. And I thought, that's not good. And so, although the sign at the light didn't say I could, I made a U-ey. You know, there's a lot of cops in Oregon, but there were not cops at that intersection, and we made it and got back on the route we should have been on, and we got to our destination safely. I hate it when I'm wrong and make the trip longer. That's one. I found it interesting, though, that we live daily in a similar scenario. We are trying to find our own way through life, hoping to arrive at the right destination, and trusting our own instincts, our observations, and gut feelings. All the time, though, the Lord has a great advantage that he wants to use to bless us. He has a heavenly and eternal perspective. He's never wrong. He's never wasteful. So in Romans chapter 6, we come back to those four words that are an outline of the chapter, and we are on the fourth word, which is obey. So those four words were know in verse 3, know that when you were baptized, you were placed into the death of Christ, you died with him. Consider or count yourselves dead to sin. Reckon it to be so for you. Offer yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. And now obey. Heavenly Father, we just look to you now to bring this down to our lives, to our understanding and our wills, that we might follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have three questions. Pretty simple. You know, I'm glad the Bible says this, that in verse 19, the Apostle Paul could write about things and have them just blow us away without us understanding any of it, just over our heads. But he says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Making it simple that we can get a hold of it. And so I think the burden laid on me was make it simple. I can remember walking into class up at Bible school. That's been a lifetime ago. But walking into class and having great big K-I-S-S. Now, you know, the single students thought that was pretty good. You know, we're told to. We do what is told on that blackboard on the front of the classroom. K-I-S-S. Only it was explained immediately. I mean, really soon, before any action could be taken on that. That keep it simple, stupid. And some people have said keep it short, but keep it simple, stupid. And so trying to follow that instruction, have three questions. What is it we are to obey? Why are we to obey the scriptures? And what will be the effects when we obey? So simple questions, and if you want to follow, there's an outline in your bulletin, and you can fill in blanks and so on. So what is it we are to obey? When Lloyd read this, right away, the question is asked, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? And by no means. Absolutely not. So what are we to obey? We're not to obey sin. Sin prompts something in us. And the temptation is there to follow through. Some people argue, if I felt the feeling, it must be right. It must be part of me. This is who I am. We are not to obey sin because we become its slave. I'm going to tell a story on me that I don't think ought to, now that this is going to be on the radio next week, I don't think it ought to go out of this building. But I told a lot of stories on myself to my kids, not to give them an excuse, but for them to know that God can use broken people, frail people. And I told them stories about my school years and things that probably I shouldn't have done. And here's one that when I lived in Portland, we lived there for 2 years at a time when I was very small, and then sixth and seventh grade. I lived in a neighborhood that there were a few of us that became good friends, but there were other kids around. And sometimes I got involved with the other kids. We lived between Gleason and Broadway. Is that right? Burnside. Gleason and Burnside. Off of 47th Street. Now those are busy streets. And they're not uptown. And there were kids that lived there that took advantage of the opportunities to do things that aren't right. One of the things that happened when I was getting to know them, and they invited me to go up to Safeway on the corner. And I went with them, just a very few blocks away. And I went up there with them, and they said, hey, come here, let me show you something. And I didn't see it happen, but he opened up his jacket, and inside there was a pocket. He had two candy bars in there. I said, where'd you get that? Come here, I'll show you. And he showed me how he got those, and I did it. And I wasn't caught. And he said, they don't have enough help here to catch everybody. Evidently not. we got out of the store with stolen candy bars. And I confess, I did not go back and pay for them as I got older. But I took the candy bars. And had I made those boys my best friends and did what they did, I could be in jail now. God saved me from that environment, and the folks moved to Hood River. And I was just taken out of that environment entirely. We're not to serve sin. But something that happens is if we participate in sin, we really narrow our options. And that becomes part of us. And by the grace of God, that wasn't something that became a part of me. It would have been really good if I had gotten caught and been disciplined by the store, and I really would have caught it when I got home. It would have been good for me. It's good to catch it early rather than catch it later. But God in His grace spared that. But I was thinking back, there was a fellow in the Bible by the name, he was a king of Judah, of Israel, by the name of Rehoboam. And he was David's grandson. He was Solomon's son. And he's the king that when he came to power after his dad Solomon died, he asked for some counsel. And the old counselors that had been with his father told him, do this. Lighten the load of the people. Care for the people. Don't tax them so heavily. Don't be brutal with them. And he said, well, I'll consider that. He went and asked the young friends, the young counselors, the guys that, man, I want to be with it. And he asked them, and they said, make the taxes higher. Put such a burden on the people that you're going to enjoy it. And you know what? He obeyed sin. He became the slave of sin. His world was diminished. And he was isolated. He was only a king for 17 years. Many of them, we read, are 30 or 40 years. 17. And he died. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, it tells us what actually happened in Rehoboam's life. It says, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. They abandoned the law of the Lord. He didn't want any input from what God's word said. So just as a reminder, sin comes as temptations in many, many forms. Sometimes it's doing things that are illegitimate. But sin comes as a temptation and is always a lure. How many of you have been fishing this year? Some of you have. I've got a license. We need to get out there, Kath. But if you use a lure, what does it have on it? Do you want to just attract the fish and have them say, man, that came through my living room. I hope it comes again. What does it have on it? A hook. Is temptation a temptation if it's not something you want? If it repels you, is that a temptation? No. What's the temptation? It looks good. It's good for food. It's beautiful to my sight, Eve said. I think I will delight in it. And it goes on today. Temptations, though, have hooks. And so our first point is, what is it we are to obey? Not sin. Because sin's going to have consequences. So I wrote down a solution to this. See if you can identify it. We're not quite there yet. But treat sin as a telemarketer or a robocaller. What do you do with a robocall? You listen clear to the end, and then you say, oh, well, maybe that's a good idea. Is that right? What do you do with it? You hang up. What do we do with temptation then? When we recognize this is something not of God, what's the best action to take? Hang up. Go no further. Let go of it. Our problem, I think, is that we're courteous. If it's some young gal that says, I need this job. Oh, okay, tell me about your product. Anyway, I'm not going to obey sin. That's a bad thing to do. Obedience, the second part of this, what is it we are to obey? Obedience to the Word of God is the Christian's way of life. In verse 17. Where's it at? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Wholehearted obedience. And what I'd like to do, the things that came to mind, was go to the Old Testament. I think we can mine some things out of that treasure and go to the book of Psalms. And if you want to turn there, I think I have them on the screen. Do I? Okay, we can read it on the screen, but it's good to look in your Bibles to know where it's placed there. Psalm 119 is 150 verses long. It's a long chapter, but in there we find a couple things about obedience. The question is asked in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is, by living according to your word. Living according to your word. Now, what do we understand about learning from the Word of God? We have to read it. It's not a spoken word to us, but it's a word that we read. And God has recorded this for us so we can read it generation after generation after generation. But it is applied by the Holy Spirit. So that how do we keep our way pure is that the Holy Spirit brings things to our attention that we have read in the Bible. Here's your reinforcement. It's not just hanging up on a robocall or a temptation. It's the Holy Spirit prodding us and prompting us to hang up. Don't let this temptation go any farther. You know, if you take that lure, it's going to be destructive. It's going to hurt you. You have the pleasure of sin for a season, but oh man, the Lord's going to get you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Verse 105 in Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And so in gaining direction from the Lord, we are obedient wholeheartedly to the form of teaching to which we've been entrusted, and the Word of God will guide us. Now, in applying this, I read an article in the South China Chronicle, the South China News anyhow, and it was an interview. They had it in a Chinese newspaper. An interview with a North Korean who had been detained and then had been, I'm not sure how all this happened, but this lady was out. And in the interview, it wasn't all that she said in the newspaper, but following up with other reading, this is about right, I believe, for her testimony, that the Bible teaches love God and love your neighbor is our first responsibility. And this lady was a Christian. She had been detained as a Christian in North Korea. Love God and love our neighbor. That's our number one responsibility. So now, having been taken and placed in a labor camp and mistreated and not given adequate food, there's a dilemma for a Christian. Because if that was you, and guards were abusing you, causing you pain, whatever situation that was, but not giving you enough food, making you work in not an adequate clothing outdoors in the wintertime, when a guard walked by, what would be your thought? There were a lot of people in North Dakota that are detained, North Dakota. You know, there are prisons probably in North Dakota, but not like North Korea. But in North Korea, there are people that are political prisoners in those labor camps as well. The Koreans call them re-education camps. And so a guard walks by, and people express under their breath their murderous thoughts. If I had the opportunity, I'd blow that person away. Now, those conditions are a challenge for a Christian. But does this apply to those people as well to us who are free? Does this apply that we are to keep our way pure, that we are to let God's word guide our ways, even when we're in a condition that is super challenging to everything that I am for and against? So this lady said, when a guard walks by and everyone else is piercing him with the darts of their eyes, I pray. I pray for them. A choice is being made. What is it we are to obey? The Word of God. No matter what the situation is, the Word of God. What do all the commandments come down to, Jesus said, the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say, except for in this situation. It says always. Always. Well, why are we to obey the Scriptures? And let's let Jesus give us the insights. Let's go to what he said and take it from there. The first thing is that God's word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus in his high priestly prayer, his prayer before the cross, was praying for the disciples and he prayed for us, but in praying to the Father, he said, sanctify them, speaking of all his followers, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Why are we to obey the Scriptures? It's true. There are a lot of things people follow that are whims, that are good for life in this world, but not for life out of this world. And we're preparing in our lives here to live with the Lord in heaven. We won't stumble and fall when we know God's truth. The second thing that I'd refer to is in John also, John chapter 6 and verse 63. And Jesus said, and this is after that that long sermon that we read, the long talk that he gave to all the Jewish people that were around about eating his body, drinking his blood. And he said in verse 63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Why do we obey the Scriptures? In the Scriptures we have life. We learn the ways of God. And we obey because Christ's teaching is life-giving and not death. Sin, the wages of sin, is death. There's a third thing I'd like to point out, and this is from Jesus as well. But our obedience is our confirmation of our love for the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14, there's a couple verses here I'd like to pull out, and you can read the section, make sure I'm taking this in context. But I'll pull out a couple verses here. The first is verse 21. And Jesus said, and he's teaching his disciples in the upper room, and he says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Obedience to God's commands, to the commands of the Lord, confirm our love for him. Verse 23, Jesus replied again, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Verse 24, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." Wow. So we obey the scriptures out of love. It's not obeying the scriptures because I have to and carry it along like a burden. But what did Jesus do for us? He loved us. He left the glory of heaven, became a man, became a baby actually, grew up into manhood, carried on a ministry that showed his love for people. When John the Baptist, his cousin, died, and it broke Jesus' heart. And he said to his disciples, "We've got to get out of here. Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go across the lake." And people followed him, and they got there. He got off the boat, and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them, even though he was emotionally distraught. He was exhausted. He loved them. Jesus did that for us. He loves us. He died on the cross for us, took our sin. He set us free. Do you love him? Do you want to know about this? Do you? Do you want to know that if you're going to express your love for the Lord Jesus, you're going to obey him? It's not, do I want to do this today? Or, nah, put it off for tomorrow. I want to live my life today, my way. If you want to show your love for Jesus, he said, "Those who love me will obey what I say, my commandments." And love is a great motivator. If we love the Lord Jesus, we will do what he says. Guilt is a terrible motivator. And I know that because I tried guilt on my kids and it didn't work. Do you know how much we've sacrificed for? Well, I deserve it, Dad. Guilt doesn't do it. But our love for Jesus grows as we get to know him through the Bible. What will be the effects then when we obey the scriptures, when we obey the Bible? What will be the effects? And the progression of spiritual life as a result of obedience is clear. We can look at verse 18, verse 19, and verse 22. And we find a progression. First of all, to obey means we become a slave, a ready servant. We'll be glad to serve, but the term is used as a slave. We'll become a slave of righteousness. The second thing is that if when we offer our bodies in slavery to righteousness, it leads to holiness, which is a quality of God. Holiness, walking with the Lord. And then in verse 22, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Eternal life. We step from this life into the next. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What will we do, or what will be the effects when we obey the Bible? We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we live without the Lord, our minds have been wired. The circuitry in our brains has been wired to respond to different things. Some of them temptations to do evil. Some of them just to go our own way. But we need our brain to be rewired. Who's going to do that? I'm not going to go to a surgeon. I'm not going to ask Dr. Mike, do you know anybody that will rewire my brain? No. I want my mind transformed, but it's not a physical thing. It's not something that a doctor can do for us. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And it's your reasonable service of worship. But then he goes on and says, but be transformed by the don't be conformed any longer to the, to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who's going to do the rewiring? God will. By what means? Through the Word. As we're learning obedience through the Word of God, as when we read something, we act on it. We don't just tuck it away, but we act on it. We live it out. The pathways in our brain will be like lightning rods. You know, we lived in North Dakota for a few years, and we lived out in the middle of this huge field. We couldn't see neighbors anywhere. And we lived out here, and every once in a while, there could be a violent storm come through. And there must have been a very good salesman before we got there, because on every corner of the house and every place you could imagine, there was a lightning rod with cables running down to metal rods planted in the ground, driven in the ground. And so if lightning were to come down and strike the house, the lightning rod would take it and divert it away. The Word of God is rewiring us that way, so that when temptation comes, it doesn't strike our being. We have an alternative. We have a new way of thinking. We can follow the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, by the Spirit, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. If you want the effects of obedience, you have to know what to do. Does the Bible tell us what to do? I think so. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it permeate every part of your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that we don't have these categories of our life that, God, this one's kind of secret, don't look here. But let the word of God permeate that. Every closet, every thought, every activity, that we bring it into obedience to Christ. And if we let it permeate every part and every action, we won't stumble in darkness. Are you walking in the light of God's Word? Are you living with His direction? It's possible that you're making the best way you know how, and are finding out your vision is limited. And you may end up in a terrible darkness apart from God. My detour would not be traumatic when we were driving in Oregon. Going out of the way wasn't a life or death issue. But our choices for now are whether we walk in the light or stumble around in the dark. I invite you to receive the Lord Jesus, if you haven't yet, to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, as the one who died for your sin. Ask Him to come in your life, forgive your sin, and lead you in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Your word speaks to us right where we are now, I believe. There are things we can know. There are things that we can consider true for ourselves because You've said so. There are ways that we can offer ourselves to You, but our obedience is necessary. Help us to obey, Father. Lead us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.